This is the Word of Truth broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to be with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalms 40, beginning at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Let us pray. Our Father, how good and how gracious and merciful Thou art unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of praise, the privilege of worshiping Thee and especially sending forth Thy precious Word again out over the ether waves. Wilt Thou look upon us in mercy? For Thou knowest that we are poor, needy souls. For both those who listen and this poor soul that preaches, Lord, we are dependent upon Thee to give us seeing eyes and hearing ears, that we may know the things that are made for our peace by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, knowing what the work of Christ for us has done upon the cross. So lead us by Thy Spirit. Get to Thyself glory even in this hour and search out our hearts. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We just continue to give praise unto our God for the way He continues to support and supply our every need. We thank you and thank Him for our many listeners, those hearts that He's opened and given grace unto in this hour. My friend, we're happy that you're with us today, and we indeed pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you and that our hearts will be drawn out after Him. Would you want a free book that would do just that? A little book entitled The Still Hour, Our Communion with God by Austin Phelps. I believe it would do for you what it's done for me. One of the most heart-searching things on prayer that I think I have ever read. But I think it would do each and every one of us good to read it. And to honestly face before God this matter of prayer. I'll be happy to send you this little book, free and postpaid, 14 chapters, 91 pages. Free and postpaid if you'll write us for it. Will you do that today? Send for your free copy. Ask for it by name, The Still Hour. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Dear friends, for the past weeks, we've been studying with you from God's Word. What the Scriptures teach concerning decision for Christ and what it means. I do understand and know that these messages are searching. In fact, they're intended to be this way. For we cannot give the positive without giving the negative. We must look and see what God's Word teaches concerning decision and profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether or not we have just lip service or whether or not we have been truly born again from above. So with this in mind and this being such a burden upon my own heart that God would use these messages to search out our hearts, to use them for the salvation of His people, I would like to continue on this subject again today with another message on the warnings from God's Word to those who have made a profession or decision for Christ. We have looked together in past weeks at Matthew 7:21, where our Lord tells us in words that are startling, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." As I said before, I do not know of another portion in the Bible or the Sermon on the Mount that is more searching or solemn than these words of our blessed Lord Jesus, the one who knows every thought and imagination of our heart, and before whose all things are naked and open. And it is He who lets us know in unmistakable terms that to Him lip service is worthless. He tells us that even the most gracious deeds count for nothing, for vital and practical godliness is lacking. He declares that those who have a form of godliness, but who are strangers to its transforming power, are deceived and shall not hear those words, and shall hear those words in the day of judgment, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, our blessed Lord comes out very plainly in this verse of Scripture and declares that to call Him Lord, Lord, and do not the will of His Father who is in heaven, is plain mockery in His sight. This is exactly what He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And we desire by the grace of God today to show you what that will of the Father is. But before we do, could I try to illustrate the Holy Spirit giving us understanding why we are being warned here? that he will not accept lip service. Let me illustrate. It is the same as my taking a wife to be called by my name to stay in my home, to spend my money to train my children, but yet who has no love for me and for my person. It is like a wife who, partaking of my blessings, has no love for my person, my name, or my authority, but who is always doing her own will and going her own way. Or put it another way, she shares my home, my money, my name, but has another lover. Or it's like a wife who has plenty of time for everything else or everyone else, but has no time for me or has no time for my love. She has plenty of time for her loves, but no time for my love. And I think this is the way our Lord is dealing here in this verse of Scripture in reference to professing Christians who own His name but do not love His person. He says, you want a home in heaven. You desire to spend my spiritual money, but you have no love for my person or my name or my authority. You're always looking to do your own thing and going in your own way and know nothing of my way and my will and my authority. He says you have plenty of time for everybody else and everything else, but no time for communion with me. No time in meditation and prayer with me. No time to read my precious word, my love letters to my bride, those bought with the price of mine own precious blood. This is what he says. You have all the time in the world for your loves, for yourself, for eating and drinking and fishing and hunting and reading and working and looking at television and making money and keeping the society and company of others and doing religious works. But you have no time for me, the precious Lord Jesus, to eat my flesh and to drink of my blood and to feed upon me. Is not this searching? And this is what the Lord Jesus is talking about here. What he is saying is that a mere verbal acknowledgement of the truth concerning his person, or a lip profession that we are his disciples, will not of itself give us entrance into the kingdom of heaven unless we have an experiential knowledge of his person and love him from the depths of our souls. And it must be shown in the works that we bring forth that accompany this profession by doing the will of the Father. And so the question is asked, what is the will of the Father? Let us lay it before you today in five things, and I trust the Holy Spirit will take it home to our hearts. First of all, the will of the Father is that we should forsake our sins. A forsaking of sin from the heart as that abominable thing which God hates. For he tells us in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yes? In the first place, doing the will of the Father is forsaking our way and our thoughts, not covering our sins, but confessing and forsaking them. And then he says in Proverbs 28:13, we shall have mercy. So to do the will of the Father is to forsake sin, flee from it, renounce it, and turn from it. For the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us, not in our sins, but from our sins. And my friend, this is Heart Church, and have we forsaken our way? Have we forsaken sin? Second, the will of the Father is for us to repent. For he tells us in Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You see, repentance is an attitude. And by that attitude, we come with a hatred for sin. To repent of sin is to confess it. To hide nothing from God, to spell it all out before Him, to forsake it as you would a deadly disease, to sorrow over it as being against the thrice holy God, to flee from it as being the thing which damns your soul to hell, to hate it as the thing that drove the nails in the hands and feet of our blessed Lord as He died beneath our sins, and then to avoid sin as the plague of our hearts. Oh, my friend, this is doing the will of the Father, to enter into battle against every sin and every false way, and daily bring forth fruit suitable for repentance. Because repentance is not a one-time act. It'll be with us until we get to the pearly gates of heaven. What is our attitude towards sin? Do we hate it? And the third place, doing the will of the Father, is we are to trust His Son. We're to believe. In John 6:40, our Lord said, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." We're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. "Thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So faith is the medium with which we lay hold of the Lord Jesus. And it is the Father's will that we're to trust the Son, and that we're to walk by faith. And this is not one isolated act, but is a continued believing our whole lifetime through. And our Lord said that this is so much the will of the Father, that we believe savingly on Him, that Mark 16:16 carries with it a promise for salvation to those who believe and damnation to those who disbelieve. For He says there, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And in 1 John 5, we find the words that "he that believeth not God and believe upon His Son hath called God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son." And my friend, it's a terrible thing to call God a liar by not believing upon His Son. My friend, do you know what believing upon Christ entails? The believing on Christ savingly means that we believe Him and trust Him in all of His offices as prophet, priest, and king. We believe upon Him as our prophet to teach us of ourselves and to teach us of Himself by His Spirit. We believe upon Him as priest, to mediate for us, to be our high priest within the veil, to die for us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to rise again the third day as our justifier, and to live within the veil as our representative, as our advocate, as our go-between, between us and the living God. And then we believe upon Him as our King, to rule over us as Lord. For you see, true saving faith is the giving up of the whole man to the whole Christ. We cannot believe partly upon Him. And the Holy Spirit never makes us a part of His body without us bowing to the headship of Christ, the lordship of Christ. We believe Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. How could you be a part of the body and not be a part attached to the head? You see, the headship of Christ is His lordship. So, my friend, you cannot be a part of His body unless He is your head. So there's no such thing taught in God's Word as an individual believing Jesus as his Savior, and then later on in life believing Him as his Lord if he so desires. And if he doesn't, it's still all right. He'll go to heaven because he believes on Him as his Savior. But my friend, the Scripture doesn't teach this. It's foreign to God's Word. You cannot be a member of the body of Christ without being attached to the head. And if you're attached to the head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, then truly you have accepted Him and believed Him and come to rely upon Him in all of His offices as prophet, priest, and king. And this is doing the will of the Father. The fourth thing I see in the Word of God which tells us what the will of the Father is found in Matthew 11:28-30, where we are told to take the yoke of Christ upon us. There we read, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, the Scriptures do not teach any such salvation apart from Christ's yoke. If we're going to have His deliverance from hell, then we're going to be delivered from sin. And if we're going to be delivered from the bondage of Satan, then we're going to be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as Luke 14:27 puts it, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. So there is cross-bearing attached to following Christ and being yoked to Christ. Or as Hebrews 13:13 puts it, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. So there is a reproach to following Christ. For they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if they persecuted the head, they'll persecute the body. And now the Lord said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have called me Beelzebub, the prince of devils, be not surprised at what they'll call you. So we're to bear his reproach. Yes, he is master. He is Lord. He is the ruler and sovereign of our souls. And so the Bible teaches us that we are yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can two walk together, the Scripture says, unless they agree? So to do the will of the Father is to be yoked to Christ. He's to be your head all the days of your life and throughout eternity. The fifth thing that we would bring before you as being the will of the Father is that of following Christ. Yoked to Him, then we're to follow Him. Over and over again, Christ said, follow me. And the question is asked, how do we follow Him? And I hear the word, the answer coming rolling back from God's eternal word that we are to follow Him unto death. In fact, this is exactly what we do, because Paul said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Yes, in salvation, we are crucified unto the world, unto sin, and unto self. Have you ever taken the word death in the Scriptures and seen what it means? It never means annihilation. It always means separation. Physical death means separation from the body. Spiritual death is separation in the second death from God. So when we go to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, we find 14 times the words dead, death, died, and dieth. They're used there 14 times. And I ask you, in what sense are these three tenses of die used? Dead to sin, dead to the world, and dead to self. So the word death here, or died, or dying, or dead, means that we have been separated from the power of sin. For you see, in salvation, sin got its death blow. Sin no longer has dominion over us, and the power of the world is broken in our heart and our life. And my dear friend, I warn you today, if the power of sin has never been broken in your life, you're lost. You know nothing about God's salvation, because death in the Scriptures means separation. It is used in the sense of dying to sin, here in Romans 6, dying to self, and dying to the world. And that's what God does for us when He saves us. My dear friend, does sin still reign in your mortal body? If it does, then grace does not reign. You're still in your sins, because Romans 5:21 tells us, that as sin reigned unto death, now grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So in the heart and life of everyone whom God saves, they follow Christ unto death. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Galatians 5:24. And the word in here is in the past tense, have crucified, but also with a continued action which is present now. It is still going on. The believer is still daily dying to sin, self, and the world. The sixth thing that I find in the Word of God concerning the will of the Father is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, where we read that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You see, God's Word plainly declares over and over again that His will is that all whom He saves, He sanctifies. He sets them apart for His holy use. He gives them a new heart, a new spirit, and a new nature, and causes them to walk in righteousness and true holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It is the Father's will that we be made in the image and likeness of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus, and this can only be done in holiness. So He gives us the principle of holiness. He implants it in us in that new nature. And so His will is that we are separated. Sanctification, 99 times out of 100 in the Bible, means to be separated from sin and separated unto God for His holy use. So this is the will of the Father, to be sanctified. And therefore, as we've gone through this message today, we find that the will of the Father is to forsake sin, to repent of sin, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him for salvation freely promised, to take Christ's yoke of authority and follow Him unto death, death to sin, self and the world, and to be sanctified, set apart for God's holy use. My dear friend, if we have not done this, then we are not saved. We are yet in our sins, and we shall be like those in our text who shall yet hear the verdict. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because you have not done the will of the Father. And my dear friend, no matter how loudly a man speaks of his acceptance of the teachings of Christ, unless he be a doer of the word, his lip service counts for nothing. My friend, is a horrible mockery to call him Lord, Lord, while we can continue to do only what is pleasing to ourselves. When we profess to obey Him, while we treat His commands with contempt, to pick and to choose what portion of the Word of God we like and leave the rest as if it did not apply to us. It is obedience which marks men as Christ's disciples and distinguishes them from the subjects of Satan. Oh, let us cry unto God for obedient hearts, for broken hearts, that we might do the will of the Father from our hearts. You don't know how I cried myself to this microphone. I've tried 4 times to make this message, failing every time until this time. Oh, Satan fought every inch of the way, but God has let us delivered, and for this I give Him thanks and give Him praise. I literally wept myself here, crying that God would give unto us that which is needful in this hour, and that's obedient hearts and broken hearts, that we might do the will of the Father from our hearts. We might be His. You want a copy of this message? We'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.